Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your grace that you're with us in this place. And God, as we study tonight, I ask that your spirit would touch our hearts from the word and that we would learn and glean from this passage, Lord. And we would become a church that, Lord, glorifies you, a church that is beautiful when you look at us. So God, when you look at us, when you look down upon us, that you would say, this is a church that I am well pleased with, for they walk with me, and they are gracious and loving and kind, and they are hospitable to the people around them. And Lord, may we be those that we're supposed to be. And Lord, teach us from your word tonight, in Jesus' name. And God's kids say, amen. So we're in 3 John. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. And picking things up in verse 9, I think it's kind of one of those really great things for us. We're just going to finish it. We're just going to finish it tonight, so don't worry. We're not going to do this in 2 parts. I'm going to go ahead and take a moment to do that. I just realized I never put my introduction in my notes, which is kind of funny for me. I'm usually pretty good about that. But one of the things I want to mention to all of us right now is that you and I live in a world where we have to make a choice as to whether we are going to imitate that which is good or imitate that which is evil. We have to make that decision. One of the problems that we are facing as a world, but also as a church culture, is the amount of information that comes at us every day. Whether it be through imagine all the different forms of social media. You have, first of all, you have billboards, you have newspaper, you have TV, you have movies, you have bumper stickers on the car in front of you, you have signs in people's yards, you have Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, you have all these other things. Yes, those of you who understand, I know what TikTok is. Thank you very much. All the young people in the room are going, oh, righteous. And the older people are going, groovy. I have no idea what you're talking about. But the idea is, like, all this information is coming. And what concerns me is what we see our generations emulating. Like, what do we see? And by the way, for a moment, I'm just going to deal with our teenage generation for just a moment. What do we see them emulate? Do we see them emulate maturity in Christ? Do we see them doing righteousness and justice and holiness? Do we see them seeking Christ above all else in their lives? Or are they kind of getting sucked into this, trying to be like everybody else? Think about, there are so many girls with body image issues, so many people confused about who they are, why they're designed, how God created them, why God created them that way. And a lot of it is just all of this input that is actually evil, and they imitate that which is evil instead of imitating that which is good. Now, I'm going to pick on the older generation for a minute. Anybody who's from 40 and up, I want you to consider, we have a tendency to get caught up in media as well. You spend enough time watching Fox News, you're going to get grumpy. I'm going to tell you that right now. You spend enough time listening to talk radio, you're going to have lots to talk about, but you're emulating something that is not necessarily good. You're emulating things that are hard or difficult. And by the way, that goes on both sides of the spectrum. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you fall down on. We can all get very, very weird by emulating that which is not good. And so we are going to be told very clearly tonight by John that we need to do the right thing. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 9. We're going to read through it and then go back and talk about it. He said, this is John writing. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Now going back, he says in the very beginning, verse 9, he says, I wrote to the church. John sought out another way first. He wrote a letter. He didn't, it wasn't one of those things where, hey, I'm gonna go tattle on this guy. He actually wrote to him. He tried to deal with it another way, couldn't deal with it that way because there was no response. But Diotrephes, John publicly rebukes this man. He rebukes him by name. There are others throughout the Bible, by the way, that are rebuked by name. Paul rebukes others by name. We'll look at that in just a moment. One of my favorite ones is when he's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's writing Philippians, and there's two women in the church that aren't getting along. And he just says, look, Euodia and Syntyche, that's their names. By the way, so ladies, if you're pregnant, there's a couple names for you, girl names. But he says, look, those of you who are in the church, you need to help them do what's right. You need to help them make up and do what is right. And so there are times, but see, in loving him, he rebukes him by name. He didn't move outside of love. He actually worked inside the confines of love. He follows a clear command of Scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says this, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. He says, look, so you mark them and you avoid them. If this person is not teaching the word of God, you mention, hey, this person is not teaching the word of God, and you avoid them because they're not teaching the word of God. Now, I want to state something for just a moment because we have a tendency to do this not on theological lines or doctrinal lines. A lot of times we do this on denominational lines. Okay? Like there would be some people that would come in here, see a drum set and go, oh, the devil lives here. I'm just saying. And there are people that would speak evil because of the way we would worship. But there might be times that we would look at how somebody else worships and go, wow, I just don't understand how they worship that. Why do they worship that way? See, this is about somebody who's not keeping the faith, not keeping the word of God, not teaching Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. And he says, look, we're going to mark them. And this guy is doing something that's inappropriate and out of the confines of what love is. Now, another example is when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. And may the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Now, remember something, that Paul is writing Timothy in a personal letter saying, hey, watch out for this guy. You got to be careful. It's not a public thing. It's just a, hey, be careful. Watch out for this guy. And so we need to understand that this is the last thing that I would ever want to do. The last thing I am ever going to want to do is get behind a pulpit and say, listen, let me tell you about this person and what they're doing. Avoid them. Will I do it? Absolutely. But it's the last thing. It's the last line for me when we have to finally get up and do that in front of the church. Now, he goes on and he talks about Diotrephes, and he says, who loves to have the preeminence among them, he does not receive us. Now, simply the problem for Diotrephes was this, was pride. He had a problem with pride. It was his pride. And in his pride, he did not receive the apostles such as John. He's like, I have a position of authority, and therefore now I'm going to change things because I have a position of authority, and I'm going to do it my way now because now I have the job. There are a lot of pastors and churches that do not survive pastoral transitions because of attitudes like this one. See, the contrast here that we see is the humility and the hospitality of Gaius, who was walking in the truth. By the way, this is a danger for anyone to serve. Pride? In our church, we have deaconesses and we have deacons, we have elders, but we don't have all their faces up on a wall. Do you know why? Because when you get a title, you're going to have to deal with the pride that comes with it. And so we need to humbly just serve the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, I want you to know something. I recognize when you're serving, and I would hope we would all serve. I would hope we'd be a church full of deaconesses and deacons and people that are serving and people that are loving God and being part of the body of Christ. But man, we got to watch out for pride. When we start thinking, oh, we all that. The scripture says that pride goeth before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Watch out for yourselves. This guy is caught up in pride. He loves to have the preeminence. He loves to be in charge. He loves to be seen. Doesn't that sound like a Pharisee? Absolutely. Sounds like a Pharisee. And so, continuing on in verse 10, he says, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does. When I get there and I come to the church, John says, I'm going to remind him and I'm going to call to mind the things that he's doing. And the deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. There's another way to think about this. Prating would be gossiping. So this is a man who has a position of authority, and they gave him this position. They saw a potential in him, but now he's filled with pride, and he rejects the servants of God, making it all about himself. He kicks people out that disagree with his position. We'll look at that in just a moment. But he goes about gossiping with malicious words. He not only fails to receive John and other apostles, he speaks against them. And this gossip and malicious speech showed what kind of man he really was. Divisive. You know, and the Proverbs tell us that there's something that God hates, which is a man who causes division amongst the brethren. So, I'm going to stop here for a minute, and we're going to drop some application. It may stir your pot just a little bit. I'm just going to let you know right now, just take a deep breath. I am begging you to pay attention, and I am begging you to end gossip in the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about every church. If you're watching on Facebook, and you go back to church, I want you to stop. If you're listening on the radio or if you're watching us on TV, I don't care. If you go back to a church that's your home church, I want you to not get involved in gossip ever. It is, to me, one of the most repulsive and disgusting things that we do to one another as Christians. And it needs to end. For me, it's the one thing, seriously, it's like the one thing that makes me think, should I let a staff member go? I'm going to tell you right now, gossip. It's so destructive and it's so distasteful to the Lord when we break one another apart. So, what is gossip? We need to talk about this, okay? So, let me explain something. If you're in a prayer group and people start telling you about other people's dirt so you know how to pray, it's gossip. Because they're talking to you about something you can't fix. So, let me share it another way, okay? How many of you guys are familiar? Some of you might be from the military. How many of you guys know what scuttlebutt is? Anybody know what scuttlebutt is? Okay. Well, how about water cooler talk? Right? Okay. Scuttlebutt, water cooler talk, it's the gossip. It's like the office gossip. It's like what's happening, what's going on, you know. And people have a tendency to come and they start complaining about things to other people that they can't do anything about. So like you're having a bad day and you have a coworker that did something that you didn't like and you see your other coworker at the water cooler and you're like, you know what Johnny did today? I just hated what he did. I wish he wouldn't do that. Oh yeah, you know, the other guy's like, yeah, I've had some problems with him. And you start talking about Johnny. That's gossip. Stop it. Let me tell you what you need to do. If you have a problem with Johnny at work, you go to Johnny's supervisor. You go to the person who can fix the problem. Then it's not gossip. If you're talking to somebody about something they can't do anything about, you're talking to the wrong person. So let me bring this into a church environment for you for just a moment. When you go to somebody in the church and you start talking about how you think the sound is not good in the sanctuary, it's gossip. Stop it. If you have a concern about the sound in this room, you talk to the sound engineer. So sorry, Chris. But you go and you talk. You don't come talk to me. I can't do anything about it. What do you think I'm going to do? You come to me? Oh, I'm just going to go tell the pastor. Then the pastor's going to go drop the hammer on everybody. Do you really think this is a dictatorship? No, this is an honest question. And for anybody who goes to any church, it's an honest question. Do you think that a church is a dictatorship? You come and you bring your gossip to me, and it's actually something that I don't oversee, or it's not within my purview to go and just tell somebody to do something differently. You need to go talk to that person. Did you guys know the scripture actually says that? If somebody has done something that offends you, you go talk to them. But by the way, I just want to clarify something. If the sound isn't the way you like it, it's not a sin against your soul. Why do we treat it like that? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So you go talk to the people who are doing that. Okay, same issue, right? So we you know, people are like, well, you know what? I didn't like, you know, and then all of a sudden there's four or five people in a corner talking about, man, the room is really, really hot today. Yep, you know what? This church just has a problem with just making sure the room feels right for people. And all of a sudden you get all stirred up in a group of people when you need to go talk to the building people. But what do? You go and you talk to all the people that don't have anything to do with the buttons. By the way, do we need a list? Do we need to show you a list of who you need to talk to? You know? It's like, you know, what am I thinking? Yeah, it's just Shane. Everybody talk to Shane. It's all Shane's fault. No, seriously. But you know, it starts to feel that way as a pastor. It starts to feel that way. It starts to feel like, why are we always bickering to each other instead of just communicating there's a problem? Now let me share something with you. If you're in a situation that you see something that you feel like, hey, maybe somebody needs to know about this. Like, let's say it's something that's broken that could cut somebody. Don't be walking around going, yeah, that maintenance team of the church, they just don't do a really good job. There's so many dangerous things here around the church. Boy, I don't know. We can't come to church here no more. They just don't care. There's a possibility we don't know. Do you guys understand we're dealing with like almost 100,000 square feet? We have four people that work full-time trying to maintain and keep this facility clean. Maybe just go and say, hey, could we let you know something that maybe you didn't see? We'll take care of it. Send a note to the office. Say, you know. But do you see what I'm getting at? It's like we have a tendency to get in a group and we talk about something, but we're not talking to the people that can affect change. And so if you're not talking to the people that can affect change, then it's gossip. So stop it. Hashtag stop it. It's just really simple. Just stop. By the way, if somebody gossips to you, oh, they will gossip about you. Did you know that? How many of you, by show of hands in this room, have you been hurt by gossip? Leave them up for a minute. I want you to look around the room. It's a lot of damage. I wish we would stop. I do. I wish we would stop. Gossip is so dangerous. And so these guys, he's gossiping. He's just going talking evil about them because he's got to build his case. And so Diotrephes is building his case. And so he does it through gossip. Don't carry other people's gossip. This is my last thing. I'm sorry. I will get down off my soapbox. Because this, if you can't tell, as a pastor who loves people, this hurts me when people do this to each other. This is the one that makes me the craziest. Don't tell me that somebody told somebody and you're telling me. Don't ever do that. Our conversation will end at that moment. If you come to me and said, somebody said, I will stop you and say, tell me who they are or we're done. Well, they want to be anonymous. Then they were gossips. they really have a problem. They can come talk to the person who they're responsible for. But the subject matter of what you're telling me about is this other person. It's not me. So you need to go back to that other person and tell them to go talk to the right person and tell them to stop talking to you about it. I mean, it's true, right? The other day, I had another pastor call me and said, well, I heard that somebody said that somebody said and started asking me some questions. And I said, we're done. Excuse me? I said, we're not having this conversation. You either tell me who's talking to you, we're done. Because I can't fix it. Because if I know who it is, I can go prepare the relationship. I can go seek to bring restoration. I can go seek to build them up. Or I can fix maybe a problem that's actually really there. One of the things we dealt with recently is we have a lot of mommies in our mother's room over here, but we also have a lot of chairs because we think we need a lot of chairs for lots of mommy. We need fewer chairs because mommies have gear. Mommies come in with a trunk full of gear for their little ones, and they need some room to get around. And we're like, somebody finally said something. I was so glad. I just like, hey guys, we got to handle this. This last week, somebody mentioned, We couldn't get a walker down that side of the building over here because the chairs are too close to the wall. I was so glad somebody said something to me. I know who said it. I know why they said it. I'm like, hey, we'll get on it because that we need to take care of that. Do you guys see what happens? When we just complain to other people about stuff we don't like or things we're concerned about, it's gossip. But when we talk to the people who can actually affect change, then what we're doing is we're communicating. Do you guys track what I'm getting at? Where churches get into trouble is when people get in groups and they just start to complain about everything. And we shouldn't do that. So be very, very careful, because when somebody says to me, well, somebody says, that burns me. So, right? And a lot of times, somebody will come to me and say that. I'll say, well, who is it? And then they tell me, and I go, I'm aware of the situation. Why are you repeating it? That person doesn't realize that they're advocating out of line. They don't have to. So, now that we've talked about Diotrephes' gossip and the fact that we never want to have it in the church, do you know what's going to happen? It will continue. But you know how we can stop it? You and I make a commitment to not listen to it. Don't listen to gossip. People come, oh, blah, blah, blah. Nope, go talk to the right person. Nope, I can't. No, I can't. Well, I just want to run it by you. No, you don't need to run it by me. You need to run it by the person that it matters to, that's responsible for that. Now, the second half of verse 10 says this, and not content with that, not just content with the gossip and all this stuff, he himself does not receive the brethren. So he doesn't receive the brethren. He's gossiping about the apostles and other servants and other ministers of God who've gone out in the name of Christ, by the way. Not taking anything with them, just gone out in the name of Christ to bring the gospel. And he says this, and forbid those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So people who want to receive the ministers into their homes, he kicks out of the church. How messed up is this cat? He messed up. And that's what I love about Paul and how John deals with this in this particular case. He's excommunicating those who want to show hospitality. Guys, don't speak evil of other servants. Don't do that. It happens all the time. And you know what? We have to realize that we are all in this together. I mean, it's so hard. People have lots to say about me. Do you guys know that? They do. They have lots to say about me. And most of them don't know me. It's a brutal thing to do. Look, if you think, let me just clarify something. If you think pastors have it easy because they only work one day a week and it's a half a day at that, you're wrong. We do work more than that. The average pastor works 65 to 75 hours a week. That's average. So for those of you who don't understand that means even if the pastor only has one job, it still feels like you're bivocational. And about 65 to 68 hours a week is pretty normal for me on a slow week. That's pretty normal for me. And what's interesting is I will meet people that will think they know me, but they don't know who I am. One of my favorite stories of this is when we had moved into a small community and I was at a local store. And I was just talking to people, because I just talk to people. And I'm talking to people in line, and I'm talking to this gal, and I'm checking out with a bunch of things for our house. We just gotten there and needed a bunch of things for the home, and we were checking out. And I said, "Do you go to church?" And they said, "Well, yeah, I go to church." And they kind of told me where. I said, "Where do you go to church?" I said, "Oh, I go to Calvary Chapel." They go, "Oh, I've heard about the new pastor there." I just fed the gossip. I went, "Ooh, do tell." Because I knew the moment I did that, she won't spill the beans, right? First thing I learned about a small town, you get one shot at your reputation and that's it. Because by the way, just so y'all know, Idaho Falls is a small town. You may not think it is. Trust me, Idaho Falls is a small town. So, but I'm there and she's telling me, she said, "Oh yeah, no, you know what? I heard that he has a glass eye and a prosthetic leg and that his English isn't real good." Now that one I got to give her, but you know, I ended up talking to her for a little bit and I go, "Well, thanks." And she goes, "Well, what's your name?" I said, "My name's Ty. I'm the pastor at Calvary Chapel." The color left her face and came into her face about the same time. It was just because, you know, because she was totally busted and she knew it, right? She had no idea who I was, but she had an opinion about who I was. And that's the thing about Diotrephes. He's in this place where he's like, "Man, I got an opinion about these guys and these guys that want to come in. And if you want to help them, I don't want you in my church, basically. I want you out. I don't want you part of this." And he's speaking evil. And he just shows us what happens with people who love to have this place of power. The reality, they use their power, real or perceived, there we go. I knew the word was in there somewhere. Real or perceived as a sword against others. They use their authority to hurt others, to push other people around. Guys, I love serving in ministry because I love serving with people. I love seeing what other people's ideas are like and what other people think about things. And I love working as a team. That's why I love as a musician to co-write music. And so I love to get with other musicians and throw out my idea and let them, like greedy piranha, destroy it. If you've never co-written anything with other human beings, you have no idea how discouraging and debilitating it to be to your own creative process. Because you have this great idea and you throw it out there and these people are and all that's left is a little skeleton with an eyeball. I mean, that's all you're left with of your idea. But then they add back their ideas and you get to chew on theirs for a little bit and you know you get even. And then what happens when you come out, you have something that's a beautiful masterpiece. It's the same with screenwriting. It's the same with actually just even writing. If you co-write or co-author with people, or if you write music with people, I love that. But people who want the preeminence want all the authority, they want all the power, and they want to make all the calls, and they really want to live in that kind of that dictator kind of environment. And that's what was the matter with this guy. His pride and what he wanted. And so what he says in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." He gave two clear examples. One was good, Gaius, and one bad, Diotrephes. He was bad. And he applies a point. Well, do what's good. Don't do what's bad. If you see it's bad, don't do the bad thing. Every once in a while, when we lived in the country, we'd have the cats bring us presents. Sometimes they were quite large. And they would bring one to the back door. And we had this glass door, so you get up first thing in the morning, and you're getting up, and you're like, you have your cup of coffee, and you look down, and you go, right? And so I'd call the boys, and I'd say, "Hey, take care of that." They're like, "Ew, I don't want to touch that. That's disgusting. I don't want to touch that. That's disgusting." I'm like, "Man up, go touch it. Why don't you touch it? Because I'm an adult. You go do it," right? But the idea is that, you know, well, here's the thing about this, is the same idea applies. It's like, we don't want to touch what is evil. We don't want to be involved in what's wrong and what's yucky. You know, can I use the word yucky when it comes to non-good spiritual things, right? We don't want to touch what's yucky. It's like, "Ew, I don't want to touch that." Let's not get involved in those things. Do what is good. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, am I doing good or am I doing evil? Am I doing the things that are good or am I doing things that are evil? John did not apparently excommunicate Diotrephes, by the way. He didn't excommunicate him, though he could have done so. Instead, he simply exposes him, and I think maybe somewhere along the lines in hopes that he would change. But when you expose somebody, it comes with consequences. Now, verse 11, the second part says, he who does good is of God. Well, that's a no-brainer, right? By the way, John's great at no-brainers. He's like, he who does good is of God, and he who does evil has not seen God. Now, Demetrius, on the other hand, our third character in our epistle, has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. There are people that we trust because of our relationship with them and their relationship with God. And when they speak on behalf of someone else, we know that we can trust that other person. It's that reference. He said he gives this reference. And so John recommends Demetrius to Gaius. And perhaps, by the way, the letter was carried by Demetrius and maybe others to Gaius. And Gaius is one who's worthy of Christian hospitality. So the next question for us is, are we? Are we worthy of Christian hospitality? Are we doing what is good? Are we not gossiping? Are we edifying others with the words of our mouth? Are we speaking? Are we seasoned with grace and with salt? Are we doing the right thing? Now, we get into the farewell in verse 13. It says, and I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. In the world we live in, I can totally sympathize with John's preference, because personally, face-to-face communication is much better than writing texts, tweets, emails, right? How many of you have ever had a email misunderstood? How many of you have had a text misunderstood? All right, here's my favorite one. My son sends me this thing. I send him little case K. Yeah, young people know. You know, you all didn't tell me before I did it, right? I meant to say, cool, no problem. My generation's like, K. So I send him K. My son's like, what'd I do? Why are you upset with me? Why are you mad? I'm like, I'm not mad. He's like, you sent me K. I said, it's a letter. I'm not mad. He says, but it means you're mad. I'm getting there. I mean, I didn't know. I did not know that when communicating with your teenagers, you have to know how to speak to them in texting, or they're going to think you're mad. Now I know. So occasionally they get a K. just saying, because now I know what it means. I mean, I'll be honest with them. You know, I get a K. But I think that for us, we have to realize that you and I, we want to speak face to face with people. We got to be really careful with this. And this breaks my heart in the culture we live in, because watching a group of teenagers in a room texting each other while they're in the room together. Okay, I will not tell you which child of mine it was. That's our deal, by the way. The deal was, when we came here, I can share all the family stories, but I will not ever tell you who it is, and they will never own it. So that's how we do this. But one of my guys, so that eliminates one of them, I guess, but had the friends over, and they were all kind of sitting around on their phones. And one of the guys and looked over at the other guy and goes, that was funny. I'm like, you're in the room together. But then I went out, and Lori and I were having date night. And I went out. And we're having date night, and she and I are sitting at a table, and I'm talking to her, and I look over, and there's another couple. They're both on their phones doing whatever, right? And then at one point, I heard the guy go, yeah, I'll take care of that. I'm like, who else are you texting that you couldn't text her that you would take care of that, right? It's like what's happening? And all of a sudden, we're disconnected face to face. I love the heart of the apostles. Paul's like, man, I want to come to you. God willing, I'm going to come and I'm going to see you face to face. And John, hey, I want to come. I want to see you face to face. And I would hope we want more face to face communication. Talking to people and interacting with people online the last few days. I'm starting to prepare the groundwork for doing a podcast with some of the pastors here. And so I've been doing some work online, seeing how that's going to work. And one of the things I've noticed is interacting with people. There are people, who don't have personal contact with people anymore. They say that they interact with churches solely online. And their only contact with other people are the people that respond to them while they're texting during a service. And I'm thinking, what happened to our personal face-to-face contact? And I'd hope that we would have that. Now, he says, peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet their friends by name. Paul's letter is about this contention and conflict, but he ends with an exhortation or expectation of peace. And I'd hope that you and I would have peace. Listen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he ends and he says, hey guys, have peace, but be friends. Be friendly and greet one another and love one another. How important is that for all of us?
Water Springs Church. Check us out at watersprings.net. And if this video blessed you, please click the subscribe button. God bless.